there. I'm board-certified professional organizer Kathy Burns. I'm really glad you're here. This podcast is designed for busy entrepreneurs just like you who want to take better control of your business and move forward with less stress and more success. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. The Organize Energize podcast is produced for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at thepodcast.organizeandenergize.com. Come back often and feel free to add this podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow me on Twitter at Organize Energy and Facebook. All links are in the show notes. Now let's get into the show. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Organize and Energize podcast. Today, we're going to talk about how to heal your past to energize your future. We're going to speak with Gary Stewart. He's a communication expert, an author, and a speaker, and he facilitates constellations as his primary tool for transformation in any area of anyone's personal or business life. You've never heard anything like this. When I met Gary, I was just astounded by what he does. He's the founder of the Constellation Healing Institute. He's a facilitator, speaker, and trainer for over 20 plus years. A constellation is a process that allows your subconscious dynamics to reveal what's hidden to cause problems in your life. So we're going to talk about becoming conscious, how to become empowered to make better choices that serve you beyond any inherited negative patterns that do not serve you. We're going to jump right into it. So you're going to love Gary. Let's meet him now. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Organize Energize podcast. We are with Gary Stewart. Hey, Gary, thanks for jumping on.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So look, we have constellations in the background. We have all sorts of good stuff we're going to talk about. So talk to me, Gary, about how did you get into this constellation business? Give us a
backstory. Well, before it became a business, I just was a massage therapist in Hollywood, Los Angeles, California. And somebody came into our center. Hey, I'm promoting this new modality, blah, blah, blah. And I said, what is it? And I said, you know, constellations has nothing to do with astrology. It's kind of about the placement of members in your family system. Of course, the ghosts in the background are our dead ancestors. And you see that it started out in 1965, believe it or not, by German psychotherapy females. This was invented by a female, but a male got all the credit. No disrespect to Bert Hellinger, my teacher, and the person who made the modality famous globally. They were looking at the architecture of the family system. So why would they would go on stage, like theatrical stage, put in a mother or father, and if the husband rep would walk away, we say, okay, there's a break in the marriage. What happened in the marriage to make that break? Why are the kids huddled with the father and they're ignoring the mother? What did the mother do to make the kids scared of it? So they started to do it on stage, almost like an improv theatrical piece, and Bert Hellinger, who coined the term constellations as a pictograph of your family system, couldn't believe the downloads he got. It's like, wait a minute, I was asked to step in a father, I wasn't me for a minute, and I understand all the emotions of a total stranger when I do not know the working client's name. So there's a field of consciousness, which I did write a book called Quantum Activation, and I blew Amika Swami, he was in What the Bleep, we co-wrote the book, and he was absolutely blown away how I could connect to the multidimensional field in a nanosecond and read his whole life history in 10 minutes. He couldn't even believe it, and the accuracy was 100%. And so I said, you gave me permission to tap into your multidimensional field of consciousness. I sincerely believe we're consciousness or an idea of God, so to speak, before we become physical, and we can be physical and reach back to that consciousness and get all the information that's stored in our own personal universe or our collective universe of our family system. And if we have the courage, the bigger universe.
Yeah, that would take some courage for sure.
Absolutely.
So you took the training and then you started getting downloads as you were doing.
Yeah, well, I started going to workshops to support her. I said, let me support you. I want to learn about this. And I was in a living room in Brentwood, California. That's the Shishi area of Los Angeles. And she said, I need a grandfather here. Would you represent a grandfather? And I do the work blindly. I don't let the room know what the client's working on. We just do it blind. It's much quicker and deeper that way, because then people try to help by doing a reenactment. That doesn't help at all. You know, it's like the brain is trying to do a theatrical impersonation. You know, I went to one, some trainees I was coaching. Oh, the client said, my mother's an alcoholic and blah, blah, blah. So they put a rep in for your mother. She starts going like this with a fake bottle. I said, how is that going to help the client? That's play acting. That's psychodrama BS. I said, she probably had grief and depression from a death or lost baby that was the real cause of her drinking. Why go through the symptom? Let's go to the root cause. So I just go deep to the root cause. So when I was in my first constellation as a rep here, I was a great grandfather or great grandfather. The client said she was Lithuanian. She didn't say till the end she was Lithuanian. She said, I don't know who I am and I'm 55 years old and I feel like not connected to myself. That was her goal. She said, well, let's put in an ancestor. I got a huge download. He was depressed. Everyone left for the new world. No one cared that he created all this life. The soil was dead on the farm. I wouldn't grow food and I died depressed and lonely. It was like, boom, inside me. And I'm like,
this was the person that's saying that, you know, I'm lonely, I'm depressed. I don't know why.
That was me. That was my experience as the rep. She was saying, I don't know who I am. I feel disconnected inside myself and my life is half over and I feel like I'm a ghost walking through my life. And okay. So the resolution was, you are Lithuanian. It still touches me to this day. We ended up hugging and crying together. It's so strange. I don't even know her last name. And we were there. She finally connected to her ancestry and she felt whole and complete. She came back with her husband 10 years later and said, my life changed that night. I said, I'm here leading the workshops because of what happened in your constellation. I created a business around it because I was so amazed by it. And then her husband did some work on his issues and it's an unforgettable experience, either being facilitated by me, being repped. Even when I rep, it's always unforgettable because we're getting this download of information that's so universal and it's always available. We just don't focus on it.
Mm-hmm. So for you, it was a natural tapping in, but.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing is I always was in massage therapy and then I'm massaging people. I was a stand-up comic, didn't work out in LA. I still have the talent, I guess, but using it in different venues now. And I was massaging people and I would get a thought, ask about anger. My shoulder's tight, or they say my effing shoulder's tight. I say, okay, well, it sounds angry. And I said, oh, what's angry in your life? Oh, this happened. Then they'd leave the table. Oh, you took a rock off me. Oh, that's the best massage I've ever had. So I was one of the most requested therapists because I kind of blended. So the field, that person's field was really telling me what the body needed. Sure, it made me a Cracker Jack massage therapist, but also I didn't know it was the same field as the constellations downloading information. When you're touching another human, you're in their field. I was downloading all the stuff off their body. And then I would ask a probing question. Well, who's the pain in the neck? They were kind of cliche, but it's really true. Who's the pain in the neck? You're like, every single person knew exactly who it was. But because they didn't verbally express it, overtly, it's somatized in the body, is holding it. Pain in the butt, pain in the neck, sciatica, frozen shoulder, you name it. You know what I mean? And so I made those connections for the people during the hour and a half massage. And because that connection was made, the energy could release from their conscious mind, their physical body, and they felt elated by having experience. So when I experienced, the reason I'm saying that, when I experienced constellation, it was the same field kind of talking to me, guiding me, you know, whether I was a rep or the facilitator. So somehow I already had this link up, which was established in massage.
Yeah, I find that a lot of massage therapists do have that tap into universal. Yeah. A lot do. And, you know, I have a girlfriend who got into Akashic readings, another one, you know, doing all different types of psychic work. It's just quite interesting to me. But I think it's true because you're totally in their field when you're with them.
Absolutely.
You're in their field. So, and you have to have good touch to be a good massage therapist. So therefore you have to be open and receptive and therefore you might get download. Now I'm curious about the term constellation. So what would you describe constellation.
So how the term came about is Bert saw these German psychotherapists on stage. They were PhDs. They weren't just, you know, they were really big players. Virginia Satir, a couple of German women. I don't have their names. Can't recall their names. And he said, oh, the pictograph is like a constellation. Oh, the picture of that family is like a constellation in the sky. It looks like 5 stars, but it's Orion. It looks like 10 stars, but it's a crab. It looks like 15 stars and it's Andromeda, whatever. And that term, the minute people grasp it, when he used the word constellation, then they said, oh, Bert Hellinger, the developer of it. No, he was an attendee who kind of really got it. And then he coined the term, which took off like wildfire. And then, of course, the women go by the wayside thinking it's the authoritarian German patriarch who created this, when no, it was discovered by him through other psychotherapists who were looking for cutting edge. Germans are very precise, looking to take apart things mechanically and make it work perfect. And that's part of the German psyche, to be perfect, actually.
Yeah. You know,
for America, it's to get rich.
Isn't that, that's a truth, isn't it? For sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So as you've been going through the process of, or it would be called reading people's constellations.
Yeah. Right? Reading, you could call it reading the field, reading, you know, in a way it's like the Akashic field, because we're going into the records of what's stored. Our DNA stores records. And I was the first one to develop past life constellations because it showed up a few times. And once we rectified the most of the past live stuff that I did, it's when the person didn't die naturally, the trauma was alive in the next body. So when I felt that was happening, I said, let's toy with it. I may be on the wrong track. I'm usually not. And it was a traumatic death that we just let the person know that their spirit didn't die, their body died that lifetime in an accident or whatever. But now the recipient can let them have that fate, so to speak, of dying in a tunnel, an accident, a fire, and then they can move on, leaving that part of our past, internal past in a way, spiritual past behind, and then move forward into a more fulfilled life without fear of this or fear. It could show up as a phobia or just a limitation. Animals have it too. I mean, I have a little puppy here, he's sleeping in my feet. When I turn on that oven, he's barking and screaming at me for the oven. And so how would a dog know heat is dangerous? And maybe he had a doggy past life where he was burned. He goes crazy when there's anything hot. So what makes a dog an animal know that? I know animals have memory when you get a rescue dog and it's been abused. You know, absolutely. Like my sister got one and it won't go near the kitchen table. So obviously someone kicked it or beat it for looking for food, and the dog has a memory. So do dogs and animals have past life? If you look at everything that's alive and grows, it has a history behind it. Even a weed comes from a long line of weed. And one of my memes I have out there, we all come from a long line of dead people. And we really do. We're the new flower in the mulch of the family system. And one thing I wondered, if the pyramids of Egypt, which I've crawled inside on a vacation, if you look at a pyramid, are all the dead ancestors the foundation and the new baby is the capstone? Like all these dead people brought a new baby to the sun as part of the family system. And if you look, the Great Pyramids were kind of a funerary, which they really weren't. I mean, I've been inside the king's chamber. There is the sarcophagus, but it was never used. I don't think I could do it again because of the claustrophobia aspect of it. But it's so interesting. Do the pyramids represent the growth of the past supporting the future? And it's almost like a pyramid. Is our family system a pyramid with hundreds of dead people? You know, like the great grandparents would be the baseline, grandparents, parents, and then the baby on top. And then that baby grows up and starts its own pyramid, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure I like that, because it's like a closing in as opposed to an expansion type of thing.
Well, I mean it more in getting the support to see the sun, have it stay in the sun. So we're really like a new flower in the garden, but the garden was here long ago. And you could say the dirt that the flowers grow through is mulch of our ancestors that are supporting our growth in the present and future. Mm-hmm. One of my books I wrote is Raising Your Harmonious Child. Decisions parents make today will have 100-year shockwave going into the future. So my great niece has my great, great nephew and great great niece, what she decisions she makes in 2020, if they live to be 80, they're going to be living till 2100. So what messages does she want to give 2100? And I let her know this, and I gave her the book. Everything you do today, will they say, oh, my ancestors were jerks, though they were horrible people? They will say, oh my God, they loved me, they nurtured me, they took care of me. Now I'll do that to their grandchildren, great grandchildren, great great. So every choice we make as a parent, and of course we're going to make mistakes, but I come from a violently abused background. So, you know, luckily I've found forgiveness and compassion in my heart for them, seeing what their lives were post-World War II and all that and the Depression. But today, what happened in my childhood, they would be in jail and I would be in a foster home. By today's standards, right, the whole family would have been broken up because of severe abuse, you know? So times change, but those are the choices that everyone made. So many people, you know, clients, I've done about 17,000 clients the past 25 years. So I discovered this in 1998. Here we are in 2023, kind of my silver anniversary year here. So
congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks. When I commit, I really commit, but it's like we're birthing new consciousness every workshop. I have one tonight. We're birthing new consciousness. We're looking at our family system in a different way. So me being a battered child, what did I get? Sure, I got pain, grief, blah, blah, blah. That's a given. What else did I get? I got tenacity, courage, fearlessness, commitment to thrive, a fire in my belly that couldn't be put out. I couldn't be extinguished by my parents, even though that's what I feel they wanted. So what are the positives? Look at Oprah, same kind of background. They didn't want her, shoved her here, shoved her there, sexual abuse, this and that. If they knew they had a future billionaireess, would they have treated that baby differently? Here's the kicker. Would Oprah be Oprah or me be me without the negative experiences?
Absolutely.
Somehow the human spirit thrives with adversity. And I think if it doesn't thrive, it dies.
Yeah.
Lots of people die young. Oh, the child had an accident, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So I think the adversity fuels our success, our drive, our willingness to challenge any negative to make it positive. We look at it on a universal level. Does the negative thing, you could say dark matter behind me between the stars, dark matter, is the negative a necessary catalyst to push into the positive? So without that, that's like the mulch. The negative is the mulch. Wow, I'm not going to solve this. I'm going to make a change. I'm going to do something. Boom, I'm going to get proactive, you know, and then you make the change. But it took the negative to stimulate your impetus to make that change and let go of something that didn't serve you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a contrast.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
It's the contrast that makes you expand. If you don't have any contrast, you're just not going to expand.
You'll just be neutral. You'll be floundering. Yeah, you'll be floundering.
And it'd be completely boring anyhow. So
absolutely. That I'm not.
So what's the most memorable moment in your career so far? Tell me.
Oh my God. I have hundreds. One of the biggest ones, I was working with one of the top sexual abuse psychotherapists in Los Angeles. She actually flies to all the courthouses to determine the sentence for sexual perpetrators nationally. So she's really well known. And she brought a severely, the old way you'd say retarded, but now that you're not allowed to say that due to cancel culture or whatever, it's called intellectual deficiency. And he never spoke since he was 4 years old. He was sodomized by his grandfather at 4 years old. He was 22, never spoke his whole life. She brought him to the constellation with his foster mother. I put him in a chair. I turned his back to the constellation so he couldn't see me working with his mother and grandfather. We didn't act out any sexual stuff. No one knew this was the case, right? He was nonverbal. Mind you, nonverbal is the key here. And his grandfather sat down against a wall and he felt like a helpless baby. So whatever the grandfather did to him, the great grandfather did to the grandfather, obviously probably sodomizing at 4 years old, is what the men did in this family system. Okay, all that's well and done. I said, you only have two, still touches me. You only have two words to remember while I do the work behind you. He didn't even watch it. He just sat in the field backwards in a chair. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. Just think those two words. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. So it touches me still. The next day, The therapist called me. I don't know what the hell happened. He's speaking in full sentences.
Whoa.
Being nonverbal for 22 years to being coherent and speaking sentences. So we basically healed that four-year-old boy of severe trauma that made him shut up out of terror, probably, and overnight. She said, and she's a PhD psychotherapist on top of a sexual therapist. She said, I've never seen results like this. So she started to bring a string of kids in, fetal alcohol syndrome, where they're kind of like, they look like they have the DTs, even though they're 20 years old. Their foundation was, their nervous system was shot. Really sweet kids. Shaken baby syndrome. That was quite interesting because they were blaming the father. No, they were blaming the whoever got blamed for shaking the baby. It actually, the father ordered, the secret perpetrator was the father because he didn't want to hear the baby crying. He didn't want a baby. So he made the wife shake it to the point of almost snapping its neck. And he had severe neck injuries. So he was challenged from the brain stem and the baby's head. Now he's 20 years old. He's still suffering. So it shows you the kind of anniversary effect of infant trauma or any trauma. And it was such a privilege to help these kids. Now, the funny thing has happened a year later, state of California visits the foster homes, and he's been there since he was 4 or 5 years old. Now he's what, he's probably about 26 now, 28. And he said, oh, how was traffic on the 101? Can I get you something to drink? Are you thirsty? They said, this is the boy that never spoke to us for the past 22 years. He's asking us for coffee and how traffic is. What happened to him that he became normal? She said, well, this is modality in LA called Constellation. Let me write that. I've never seen such progress in any human being this lifetime. They never contacted me, but the state of California was like mystified that he was a fully functional human being overnight, you know? So that's one of my highest, most proudest things.
Yeah, that's a really, really good story.
And oh, it's true.
A little bit too mystical for the state of California, probably too.
Yeah, but the fact that they were that interested, that they saw the effect and they couldn't believe it. So, you know, I feel like if you get the mitzvahs in heaven, I got one big one for him. And it was such an honor to support him and help him.
That's awesome. So looking back at your life, if you had to tell your 18-year-old self something, what would you tell him right now, knowing what you know?
Don't worry, you'll do good things.
Yeah, that's good.
My whole life, just personally, I felt lost. Like I didn't know what to do. I've had many different careers, restaurant business, factory worker, restaurant business. Then I ended up doing stand-up comedy. That really floated my boat. When I commit, it's a good 10-year commitment. It didn't work out. Not to mention that I didn't have the skills of public speaking from stand-up comedy. I sure did. But then it led to massage. I said, I give up. You know, I'm a masochist at heart. I'll do something until I beat a dead horse, until there's nothing. I said, I'm not going to get discovered in LA. Let me change gears. And I became a massage therapist. I was written up in magazines. And then I discovered that I had this other talent. And then when I discovered Constellation, I said, well, I can't do massage forever. So I better morph into a facilitator thing. And but then when I look backwards now, there was a healing theme going on since I was 23 years old, but I didn't think of myself as that way on a healing path. I thought I'm floundering. I don't know what I'm doing this lifetime. Oh my God. When I hit 30, I was very depressed. I said, my God, my life's half over and I don't even know what my career is yet outside of working for other people. And then once I hit 40, I said, okay, so be it. I didn't discover my purpose this lifetime. Then right before 50, I discovered Constellations. Everything fell into place. All the skills I was working on just added to my toolbox, and then writing books. Now I'm an unpublished author with many books inspired by Constellations, all the insights I get for humanity and pain and wisdom. So it's given me tremendous wisdom, and couldn't be happier with that.
What I think is interesting is that the people that I speak with that have found their dharma, so to speak, or purpose, all their life experiences have led up to it. And all the life experiences are the toolkits
I know
now use to do what they're doing. I mean, I'm a case in point. Everyone I interview is a case in point that's doing their purpose when they feel like they're on where they should be, doing what they should be doing. Yeah. It all culminates from all the past jobs.
Absolutely. But I couldn't see it while I was on the journey. Yeah. And, you know, and now I can see it, how it all fits together. And this is just one part. I mean, when I die, I'm on this spiritual exploration. God knows where I'm going to go when I leave this earth. But I think I'm also developing those tools for the next lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, I had a couple of mystical experience with a cancer client. I had just started studying constellations, and she came to me. I was working at a top spa. Oh, I was diagnosed with level 4 ovarian cancer. I said, oh, wow. So she got a massage for all the stress. And she said, we talked a little bit. I told her about ancestral stuff. She said, well, I'd like you to meet my oncologist. And it happened to be that I knew the program director at Cedars-Sinai who wanted alternative healers to lecture to MDs. Well, I had a lecture coming up at Cedars. He was in the first row. Now, he birthed her, mind you, the way. He's an oncologist now, but he was OBGYN 40 years ago when she was born. He birthed her.
He birthed her. Okay.
And now it's his
client
40 years later, 45 years later, because he went into oncology from OBGYN. So I did a constellation, and... Well, he went to the lecture. He was sitting with his nice loafers and his white coat like this. I said, oh, this guy hates me. And he said, I told him what I got during the massage. I said, I didn't tell her, but I felt there was some hidden sexual abuse. And I was already starting with constellations, but, you know, and I have my own workshops, but that's just what I got from the massage. He said, you know what? There were two uncles I always felt creeped out around whenever I was at her. He was going to marry the mother, by the way. They broke up. She married someone else. And he's been like the doctor uncle, you know, still part of the family, but the marriage never was to be. And there's a couple of guys, blah, blah, blah. And so the second one, I had asked her, I said, you know, the doctor was wild by you, blah, blah, blah. And we ended up doing constellation on it. And she said, yes. The only thing she remembered consciously was two black girls wanted to see what her genitals looked like at 4 years old and told her to take down her pants to see if the inside was the same color as theirs. That's the only thing she remembered. As far as sexual trauma, which isn't as bad as what I've seen from many other women, but there was some dark secret somewhere. Those uncles probably did something to her at 3 years old, something like that. So anyway, she came in, she said, I'm starting my chemotherapy next week, so I want to get a massage before I go to Cedars for my first chemo. And the chemo people said, why are you so happy? They said, you haven't met Gary Stewart. I have such hope now. And she came in, and when she said that, I saw a picture of white men. Now, mind you, it was February in LA. We don't get snow, but it was winter, and she came in a spring dress that was all white with yellow and red sunflowers on it. Okay. Before she had booked her appointment, when she told me about the chemo, I saw a flash of white with yellow and red sunflowers. And I thought, why did I get that image? Then she walked in for the chemo day. She wanted to wear something bright and springy, not dark and, you know, foreboding. And she had the dress on that I saw the image of. So it's like precognitive. The other thing that happened, I felt I was in a different dimension of my future life. Looking at me working with here now presently was my past life according to the future life. And it wasn't on Earth. It was like Indiana Jones. I had the garb on like I was an archaeologist, spiritual archaeologist. And I told her that. I said, something that funny happened. She said, you're not going to believe this. I felt the same thing. I felt my future self was looking at my past self, meaning you to guide me through this. It was talk about multidimensional, and I was just getting started. I hadn't even gone where I've gone now. So it's absolutely fascinating. She died about a year later. She died about a year later, unfortunately, and I was on vacation. I missed the call. And then her relative sent me the obituary. They said, you meant so much to her. And I was just sick that I missed the call. So if you get a call from someone, do not I was out of the country. I think I was in Europe and I just got back. I said, oh, I got to get reorganized. And she died a couple of days after that call. So that was a big regret that I didn't call her to do a final check-in. I didn't know it was a final check-in, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of organizing, okay. And can't get away without talking to me about how you stay organized yourself with your life. Yeah. Appointments.
I'm a one man show. I should do it. Well, I mean, no, I have a web designer, graphic designer. I mean, I have lots of ancillary help around me because these images and stuff, and I find images. Do you know you can always use a NASA image for free because our tax dollars paid for it?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's always free if you give NASA credit or whatever. Yeah. So when I did my Oracle cards, Constellation Oracle cards, which are on Amazon, we use, most lazy people would use one galaxy. We use 72 galaxies for each card and had it roll over the front with the words of the healing words on the front of the card. So what was the question again? I'm sorry, staying in business.
How do you stay organized?
Yeah. Yeah. Just
luck. Do you have any secret weapon?
Well, I mean, I have constant contact for the customer manager, CRM, they call it, customer manager, constant contact emails. I really am a one person show and, you know, it's big. I mean, I'm doing a thing in LA in September 16th. So they're kind of organized it for me down there, but I have my email list of LA clients. So I do my marketing and promotion because I like the personal touch. People yeah. know me, I've been to the deeps of their soul, the deeps of their pain. I have people come up to me, you know, I met you 5 years ago. We did this 5-minute exercise. My life has changed the past 5 years because you took 5 minutes with me. And I said, wow, I just was being present with what you needed.
That's fantastic.
Healing doesn't have to take hours and hours and sessions and sessions. You can hit, I always hit the nail on the head. I said, if you want to screw around, go with someone else. If you want to go for the juggler and start your new life, I'm the person for you. It's like, let's do it. Okay, you're coming here because you're tired of suffering. So let's get to the bottom of the suffering, give it back to who it really belongs to. 90% of the pain we carry is not ours. And I put that on my website, Gary Stewart Healing. We're carrying someone else's pain that didn't resolve it in their lifetime. And there's almost like a soul guilt that we have to heal the person, people who came before, because they got a raw deal. So we got to carry the raw deal for it. How dare we be happy? Typical example is Jewish people. And I found out I was Jewish too. So there's a whole other family secret came out 18 years into facilitation. Ironically, from Lithuania. Talk about full circle.
Uh-huh. Back to the top of the show.
Was I repping my own great-great-grandfather that I never knew existed from Lithuania?
Interesting. And it's Gary Stewart, S-T-U-R-A-T.
No, S-T-U-A-R-T, Stewart.
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. EWN,
right, exactly. But ironically, my ancestors were EW. I think a census person in New England, when they migrated from Scotland, just changed the spelling, you know, out of laziness. Yeah. So about 1800, it all changed to STU. But for centuries, I've got back 600 years in Scotland.
That's so funny.
STEW clan in Scotland, famous clan, actually.
Wow. Okay. So I know you have something to offer the listeners here.
Well, I have a bow card. Should I paste it in or just send it to you by email?
A what card?
It's called a bow and release card. So like I was just talking about letting the pain of your ancestors go, it's a simple card that has its four instructions to do it. Thank you for giving me life. I leave your problems with you. I love and appreciate you. I wouldn't be alive without your suffering. You know, honor them. And then you bow to them with gratitude. Then you turn around and walk away. So many people feel like a weight's been lifted off their shoulders. Do you want me to put in the chat or just email you after?
They need to have a download link for it.
Oh, I have it. I have it.
Yeah. So just send me the download link.
Yeah. It's on my website under bow card, but I'll forward it to you right as soon as we're done. So you can add
it. Awesome. And then what I'll do is I'll publish it underneath the show notes for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It works every time. I made a beautiful graphic of the universe, a similar graphic to what's behind me now. It's really beautiful and it's so effective. And now it doesn't just have to be your ancestors. I get a boss at work that's driving me crazy. He's all over me every day. You know, Joe Schmo, your personal problems aren't mine. I'm an employee. I leave the stress of what you're doing with you. I'm turning around and walk away. And I cannot tell you how many people have seen a change in those people by doing it. I can't tell you how many people families who were never told about the constellation work, who said, my family was totally different when I saw them again. So when we evolve one drop in the ocean, we're evolving the whole ocean. When one person gets to the bottom of the pain, this is the root pain in our family. I released it in me. It's released, I personally believe, 7 generations back and 7 generations forward. So we're really at the what I call the point of power. And when we take charge and use that point of power, it affects all realities, all dimensions simultaneously.
How'd you come up with 7? Because I know that our body changes every 7 years. What's the deal with the 7?
Well, a lot of Native Americans say 7 generations. Of course, we're 1,000 generations, but generally for our time frame, I mean, we're lucky if we know our great grandparents, which would be, what, 2 generations, possibly 3. More people than not only know their grandparents, or maybe their great grandparents died when they were babies. So Native Americans, I think, coined the term 7 generations before and 7 gener. So Native Americans said, whatever you do now, today, will reflect 7 generations, both directions.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my husband's working on a project called the 100-year rule. What can you do today that will leave a positive imprint on the world 100 years from now?
Absolutely. And I feel that same way. That's what I do, because I want that someone could transform pain into happiness, you know. And it's not to diminish people saying, oh, yeah, be happy, pretend it doesn't exist. No, let's go to the depth of the pain and transform it. Like we said at the beginning, the yin and yang, the dark negative pushes into the positive. And a lot of people are stuck in the dark negative, but we push it forward so it evolves into the positive because they're interconnected.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for your time. This has been amazing.
Absolutely.
I'm always just my head's going like that after I speak with you every time. So thank you. Thank you for showing your expertise, showing your spirit and your heart.
Yeah.
And for those of you who want to get in touch with Gary, go to Gary Stewart, STUART.com.
Healing.com. Gary Stewart, healing.com. Yeah.
Yeah. And then go /for the card and we'll put that link down below.
Yeah. I'll send it to you right now.
Thanks, Gary. Wonderful. Have a good one.
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much, Kathy.
Absolutely. Until next week, you guys, we will see you then. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to hear more, feel free to subscribe on the platform of your choice. Also, if you feel so inclined, I would truly appreciate a good rating from you to me. Have a stellar day.